Hey, everybody, I'm Nick Layton.
And I'm Leah Bonema.
And we're the hosts of Were You Raised by Wolves?
Each week, we try to make the world a kinder, nicer place.
Well, that's the idea, at least.
I mean, we try.
Have you ever wondered what to do if you're ghosted?
Or what to do when a friend asks you to borrow money?
Or the proper way to eat Cheetos?
You know, the big questions.
So please find Were You Raised by Wolves wherever you listen.
This episode is brought to you by Root 11 Potato Chips. Made with a secret recipe and superior ingredients, their mission is to make an outstanding product in a safe and clean environment. To learn more, visit rt11.com.
This is What Doesn't Kill You, Food Industry Insights. I am your host, Katie Kiefer. And today I have two very special guests on the phone with me today. They are with Nyman Ranch. Their names are Ellie Gadient and Kay Cornelius. And they are here to talk about a unique collaboration, at least as far as I know, a unique collaboration between two corporations plus a nonprofit to help promote new farmers entering the field in the United States. And we're going to talk about why we need that and what they're doing. So first, let me introduce my guests. They are Kay Cornelius. Kay grew up on a diversified family-owned crop and cattle ranch in eastern South Dakota. She spent her early years as an integral part of the family ranch and as an active participant in 4-H. Oh, I always wished I could do that. After graduating with a bachelor's in animal science and a master's in meat science, Kay has focused the majority of her career working with natural meat companies. She brought her expertise to Nyman Ranch in 2008, where she went from being a seasoned sales director to the vice president of food service and retail sales. Kay has the unique position of not only representing Nyman Ranch's 740 family farmers and ranchers when she works with her customers, but she is also a rancher as well. She is a fourth generation family cattle rancher with her husband and son in Colorado. And my other guest is the delightful Ellie Gadient. I think that's how you say it, Ellie, right? And she grew up also on a family farm in eastern Iowa, raising pigs and cows. Her family joined the Nyman Ranch Hog Farmer Network in 2008. Ellie graduated from Wartburg College with majors in environmental science and business administration. And throughout college, Ellie was a Nyman Ranch Next Generation Foundation scholarship recipient, including being awarded the first Phyllis Willis Memorial Scholarship in 2017. This scholarship was created in honor of the Nyman Ranch Pork Company co-founder, who cared deeply about animal husbandry and environmental sustainability. Since graduation, Ellie interned with the Nyman Ranch Communications team and is now the farmer advocate representing our network of 740 farm families from across the United States. Welcome to both of you. I'm really excited that we finally got this together to have this conversation, because it's the partnership you have developed with Chipotle, who I know you've been in partnership with in terms of providing pork for them. But this kind of sort of, I don't know what to call it. It's not a public-private, but it's business-to-business partnering for good. And then you brought along with you the National Young Farmers Coalition, who I've spoken to numerous times on this program. So, Kay, let me start with you. Nyman Ranch and Chipotle have just teamed up to expand on what is already an existing program, which is the Nyman Ranch's Next Generation Foundation, and along with the National Young Farmers Coalition. So tell us about this initiative. What is Chipotle bringing to the party here?
Sure. And number one, thank you for having me and allowing us at Nyman Ranch to talk about the opportunities for young farmers. And this partnership with Nyman Ranch and Chipotle has roots that go way back. We started providing Chipotle with pork product. I like to say we were the ones that opened Steve L's eyes to the differences between raising animals outdoors, allowing them to express their natural instincts, and versus what the industry does. And through that through that visit to that very first farm over 20 years ago, Chipotle has been a part of Nyman Ranch's fabric So it's really a unique business-to-business relationship that we have. And we used it as a recruiting tool when it first started, because Chipotle took parts of the pig that other customers maybe wouldn't take for their delicious carnitas. But it was used as a recruiting tool way back when, that for every new Chipotle that opened up, that meant another Niman Ranch farmer could start farming. And that has been used since Paul Willis first asked Steve Ells to come out and visit his farm. And so we've grown from that to realizing that Niman Ranch needed to in order to keep the farmers farming the way that we believe it's important to do, we needed to get new farmers into school and out of school, and do it in a way that, you know, with our next generation scholarship fund, where they could come back to the farm without the debt of college. And so we developed the Next Generation Scholarship Fund to help with that, and Chipotle was the first donor of that over 8 years ago when we started that Next Generation Scholarship Fund. And to date, Chipotle, recognizing the importance of getting good farmers back on the land, they've donated over $240,000 towards the scholarship fund for children returning back to farming. And so I give you that background because what they've done in the past year has just been tremendous. We went to, this time last year, we were talking to Chipotle about our family farmers, and then they've installed a new team at Chipotle, and they really didn't know about our relationship. They just thought it was a vendor-business relationship. And we said, no. You should come out and visit our farms and look our farmers in the eye. You wouldn't believe the relationship we've had with Chipotle. And so they sent, it culminated in their entire executive team taking a trip out to our farms in Iowa in July. We had them meet the recipients of the Next Generation Scholarship Fund and had them share their stories about how they started farming. Ellie was one of those farmers. Her family is very much involved in that, as well as some other young farmers. And they realized that for Chipotle to grow a sustainable supply of food, they needed to invest in the next generation of young farmers. And so that then, with their relationships with Niman Ranch, and then with their relationship building with the National Young Farmers Coalition, has culminated in the course of 12 months into something that is even greater than what they were already doing. And to this date, they've committed a fivefold increase in their support of Niman Ranch's Next Generation Foundation. They've committed from their Rose Bowl float that they had. The theme of the Rose Bowl was hope. Hope for the future. They had the National Young Farmers Coalition. On that day, if you hashtag the word farmer in any social media, they donated $1 to the National Young Farmers Coalition.
Oh, wow,
really,
that's fantastic!
Incredible, the investment that they are taking to ensure that next generation of farmers is in place.
Right. That's extraordinary. Ellie, let's hear a little bit from you. You come from a farming family in a farming region. Tell us about how this type of initiative, this kind of collaboration between businesses and, say, the National Young Farmers Coalition or a similar organization, would help your generation choose farming over moving on to other potentially more lucrative, less hardworking industries. I mean, it's hard to attract kids to stay on the farm unless they're very special like you.
Thank you. I think the biggest issue with young people not returning to the farm right now is because of our limited opportunities. We're facing huge challenges that weren't as prevalent in past generations, from land cost to debt with student loan debt or farm debt, and then the risk of surviving as a small family farmer. And I am thrilled about this initiative because we're addressing all three of these huge challenges that young people and young farmers are facing, because with this initiative, the more meat Chipotle buys, the more pork and beef from Niman Ranch, the more young farmers Niman Ranch can support. So that's creating a secure network or a secure market for those farmers. And then with the support to the Next Generation Foundation, that was so near and dear to my heart. My brother and I have both been past scholarship recipients through this, which tremendously helped my family, getting us through college and graduating with lower debt. And then also with this Chipotle initiative, they're in agreement with Niman Ranch providing breeding stock to young farmers. And my brother has been a recipient of this. And it's called a gilt stocking program. And a gilt is a female pig that has never had babies before. And Niman Ranch gave my brother breeding stock to start his own herd of pigs. So now my brother is raising his own herd of pigs alongside my parents in agreement that he'll follow the Niman Ranch protocols and then sell the offspring of those pigs to Niman Ranch. So I'm so excited for this initiative, and I'm already seeing how it's helped my family and how this could help more families like mine.
Fantastic. one of the things, Kay, I'm going to ask you this. what I read up on the on this whole program, the new initiative provides a 3-year commitment to purchase, providing that the young farmers or farmers under the age of 40 meet your food integrity standards. Can you describe what those food integrity standards are and who sets them?
Sure. So the food integrity standards that you reference, Chipotle has a protocol that was written over the course of many years of visiting farms and learning from farmers what it is that makes them thrive and what is best for the animals, the humane animal treatment, and so they've developed their own standards for the food they serve, and we have our own set of standards and protocols, of which they match up almost identically, because quite frankly, Chipotle learned from Niman as they started with their down the food integrity path with carnitas from the pork from Niman Ranch farmers. But there's many different standards, and our protocols are listed on our website, NimanRanch.com, for anyone to reference to check and see if they might qualify or what changes they might need to make to qualify. But the big ones are that the animals are raised raised outdoors or with the access to the outdoors or in deeply bedded pens. And that means that they're never in confinement hog buildings. So outdoor raising or in what we call hoop barns, which are typically kind of a tent over an enclosed tent over a dirt floor, and that's deeply bedded with straw depending on the weather. And also, they need to be no antibiotics fed to the market hogs, and no hormones added. There's no hormones that can be given to pork anyway, but nothing that mimics any type of artificial growth promotant. So outdoors, deeply bedded pens, no antibiotics given, no growth promotants of any kind are allowed. They have to be subjected to an audit. We have a field staff that does on-farm visits. They work with farmers to get them up to Niman Ranch protocols and then continuously monitor them every year that they are part of the Niman Ranch system. There are no farrowing crates or gestation crates allowed. You have to give the sows a space to express their natural instincts and to build their nest and allow them to feral on their own. And, of course, a 100% natural vegetarian diet, meaning there are, you know, a lot of our farmers raise their own feeds and then supplement with what our field agents would advise for, you know, making sure that the hogs have the best nutrition in front of them whenever possible. So those are the very general points. But our protocols, like I said, are on our website, and they are easily accessed for anyone that might be interested in being a part of this.
So just for clarification purposes, for people who aren't familiar with the hog business, how much harder is it to raise hogs in this method? Like, what is the limit to how many hogs you can have? What is the cost differential between what it costs to raise in this, you know, with these food integrity standards versus what it costs a farmer to raise in an industrial setting? I just want to draw a little comparison there because I think people should understand that there is, you know, a significant difference in labor and, you know, at the very least. Plus, since you're not using growth promotants like ractopamine or other beta agonists, which I think is typical for hog farming, and no antibiotics, it obviously would take longer for your hogs to get to market weight. So if you could make a little, just give a little sense of the contrast between the two methods.
Sure. So there is certainly much more space that is required per animal in the Nyman Ranch system or in any of the systems that are pasture based or deeply bedded pen based, and so the animals it's really interesting. They can be less efficient to grow. But, and we recognize that, and we pay a premium to that farmer to compensate for that less efficiency. And so the commodity hog market right now is based on, you know, markets that are worldwide in scope. And so commodity hog markets go up and down. What Nyman Ranch does is we pay our farmers a steady price, and we guarantee a floor that will cover their break evens. And that may sound a little specific, but we make sure that farmer remains whole. Now, and that break even for a Nyman Ranch farmer is determined by our farmers themselves. We have a group, a farmer board that says, look, our prices for corn, our prices for fuel, our inputs are going to be this, and we work to make sure that those hogs that we buy from those farmers at the base minimum is above that floor. And
right.
It's very typically above that floor. Where the commodity market fluctuates, day to day, month to month, week to week, year to year, and really the farmer has no control over the price that commodity hog markets pay. At Nyman Ranch, you know what you will get for your hogs when you start raising pigs for us.
Right, right. let's move on. I know. We have to take a short sponsor break now. I always forget this part of the show, but that's what we have to do. So we will be right back with Kay Cornelius and Ellie Gaudette, talking more about a partnership between Chipotle, Nyman Ranch, and National Young Farmers Coalition and why we need that partnership. Stay tuned.
This episode is brought to you by Route 11 Potato Chips. From the moment Route 11 dropped their first batch of chips back in the early days of 1992, they understood their destiny as a high-quality producer. Instead of succumbing to the frenzy of mass production, they took advantage of their small size and made chipping a personal art form. The payoff was immediate, an incredible potato chip. With a secret recipe and superior ingredients, their mission is to make an outstanding product in a safe and clean environment. In this world of uncertainty that we live in, Route 11 Potato Chips believe comfort food can be just that. Know where your food comes from. To learn more, visit rt11.com.
Okay, we are back. This is What Doesn't Kill You? Food Industry Insights. I'm your host, Katie Kiefer. In case you missed that at the top of the show, we're talking to Kay Cornelius and Ellie Gadent from Nyman Ranch Pork. Actually, you're not just pork. You're pork, you're cattle, you're poultry now, right? Are you doing poultry?
We're not into poultry quite yet.
But when you take over the world, you will be. I would love to, like, as a total, this is why I need an outline, ladies. As a total non sequitur here, I'm going to be traveling for a couple months. And one of the things I always do when I'm abroad is I try to find farms or farmers or producers or advocates or somebody who I can talk about, you know, agriculture with, particularly meat agriculture in these foreign countries. And it's really, I always think to myself, gosh, I wish I could have one of those Nyman Ranch people with me to show them how it's done. Because the traditional ways of raising pork, which is what you guys engage in, are fast being eroded by the industrial pork community, I should say, industry, what juggernaut. And so a lot of these advocates are trying so hard to push back against it, and even their own, countries, the state, like for instance, Spain, for example, is seeing a real surge in industrialized pork production, for many reasons, many of the same reasons that we have, including flight from farm and all that kind of stuff. But, they have not apparently understood the environmental toll that it takes on their land, or the toll that it takes on the quality of their meat. And that's one thing I can tell you about Spanish pork. It is divine. I mean, if you're a meat eater, that is truly hog heaven. I mean, you have to become a haminarian when you travel in Spain. Anyway, to go on, Ellie, I want to talk a little bit about your new title. You are farmer advocate. Tell me what that job is. And tell me about the young people who are moving into agriculture and what differences you see between, if any, between your parents and grandparents in terms of how they approach farming or what they're concerned about as far as making a go of farming.
Ooh. So I recently started my new role as farmer advocate for Nyman Ranch, and this came from, I grew up on a family farm in Iowa that we raised pigs for Nyman Ranch, so I've always grown up really interested in and loving sustainable agriculture and family farmers, and now, excitingly, I get to be the liaison between the 740 farm and ranch families in the Nyman Ranch Network and the business of Nyman Ranch. And this is from, I go to events and represent farmers to, like Kay mentioned, we have farmer boards. And we have 5 farmer boards at Nyman Ranch. And those boards, they give, it's interactive with Nyman Ranch and the farmers. So the farmers give their perspective on different points and, like Kay was saying, the pricing. And then we take that back to Nyman Ranch. Nyman Ranch considers from the farmer's point of view how our decisions are affecting the family farmers. And then also I work with, we have mainly communication with the farmers, and this is from, we have a monthly newsletter that we send farmers, and that's with different tips on, we'll have like water quality that we're talking about for the farmers, different tips, and then also resources to connect them with. So if they're interested in putting in pollinator habitat, we can connect them with partner organizations they can work with to have, to put in pollinator habitat in their farms. So I'm just so excited about this whole role. And what I get to do, I get to work with farmer ambassadors, which are Nyman Ranch farmers who are interested in going, traveling and going to events, representing the network of farmers. And I'm just thrilled to be working with farmers, not only supporting my family farm, but representing 740 families just like mine.
Mm-hmm. And why do you think young people want to go into farming now, given the instability of the market, the fluctuations in market, the consolidation in farming in general, in terms of buying seed or even tractors and stuff like that? They all seem to be tied up in 1 or 2 or 3 companies. There's not a lot of support from the federal government for small and medium-sized farms, and you have all the challenges that climate change is beginning to show us. You know, how are you able to persuade young people that farming is a good idea? You're
like
what
right.
attracts young it's, people to it, do you think?
It's daunting with all the challenges we're facing right now, especially for young and small farmers. But I think the reason everyone is interested in farming is it's the love of the land, the love of the animals, the whole lifestyle of you care for the land and animals and they care for you right back, and that relationship with the animals and your relationship with the land. You're so connected with nature and the earth and the rain and just believing in Mother Nature. It's so powerful. But I think that's what, from generations ago to now, why people are so interested in and so passionate about following their dreams of farming. And then also with that, it's the legacy of the family farm. It's just powerful to know my family raises, our cow pasture is on my grandparents, where my mom grew up. It's the same farm my mom grew up on is now our pasture where we raise our cows. And it's just so meaningful, and that was always my mom's dream, was to have where she grew up be a part of her family's legacy, and it is. So even though there's all of these challenges with the land costs and the lack, but not necessarily lack of support, but it's more difficult to find support, that there's niche markets like Nyman Ranch that are here to support small farmers and small farmers that really, really love what they do and really love the thought of farming.
How much do you see, Ellie, how much do you see farm states like Iowa investing in young farmers as well? I mean, are you, like, Iowa is home to a lot of very consolidated, large agribusinesses. And it seems like the state, according to many of my other farming friends, hasn't really paid as much attention to, you know, young farmers or small and medium-sized farmers as they might have. How do you feel your role could support interesting state legislatures like Iowa in doing more to attract young people to the land?
Ooh, one part is we work closely, Nyman Ranch works closely with the National Young Farmers Coalition, and we have many of our farmers in the Nyman Ranch Network are also members of the National Young Farmers Coalition, and the National Young Farmers Coalition is very, very focused on policy change and legislation. So I think a huge part of my role supporting legislation to support small farmers is collaborating with our partner organizations who are working meticulously to find more ways to support small farmers.
Right, right. It's tough. I mean, especially in a state like Iowa, where your farming protocols seem to be very largely determined by the bigger businesses and not so much by folks like your family. So that was why I wanted to sort of drill down into that. Kay, did you want to comment on that?
Yeah, if you don't mind, I'd like to just add something to that.
Yes.
That, you know, the small and mid-sized farmers, I would say, besides the love of land and the love of animals, there's also the love of community. And so maybe the state policy is too large for something like that. But community policy is often where we see medium and small-sized farmers really get active in to help their fellow neighbor, whether it be through you know, talking about land use in the local communities, but also talking about healthcare and schools in those local communities. Our small and mid-sized farmers are often the ones that are the most engaged in the local communities in which they live, rather than off-site owners. And so to make a living doing small and mid-sized farming, almost always you need to find your niche, because you can never gain the efficiencies of big ag, so to speak. So, you know, finding a program like Nyman and for hogs or cattle is really important, I think, to you. And that's where Ellie's role comes in, is she is that conduit, that voice that can connect those small and mid-sized farmers here at Nyman with a market that allows them to make a living and not be a giant farm that is just concerned about output. So
right.
I think that's where Ellie really comes in, is to be that advocate and to find those small and mid-sized farmers, to give them a voice.
Right, right. Well, that's a good lead into my next question, because having talked about your philosophy and sort of the principles of good husbandry and the fair pay for your farmers for their product, let's talk about whether or not this is a model with staying power. Like, you guys have been, I think, remarkable in your ability to grow this business in the face of the consolidation of the pork industry. And so what, you know, like, how do you see yourselves expanding? I mean, how, your price point is not that different from conventional pork production, as far as I'm concerned. I mean, a pound of, you know, Smithfield bacon is going to cost you $8, and a pound of Nyman Ranch is going to, or 12 ounces of Nyman Ranch will cost you 10. So
yeah,
it's not that you're charging a lot more, but you're charging enough more. And I'm wondering if that is going to, I mean, if you guys continue, I don't know where I'm going with this, but you know, can you continue to expand? I guess is my question. Do you see yourselves as able to continue to expand, or do you see yourselves being bit by bit sort of shut down by the efficiencies of the larger industry? You can both have a go at that question. Kay, why don't you start?
Well, I certainly think that there is a very long-term future for Nyman Ranch, and it's really exciting. I mean, because I always say we're a meat company with a mission of helping small family farmers make a living. And I think, you know, that's a mission that and not only make a living but thrive. And
right,
we stated last year at our annual gathering of all of our hog farmers that we were committed in 10 years to double the number of farmers that are working with us. And that is a truly exciting goal for us. And to engage, it's our job at Nyman Ranch, at least my job on the sales side, is to engage those interested customers where they want to have sustainably raised, humanely raised, family-farmed meats on their menus or in their grocery stores. And we have seen interest, you know, consumer interest is driving this. And so we need that consumer to go, this is a product that tastes great, and it has all of the values that I care deeply about. And I'm willing to pay the $2 more for the bacon rather than a commodity-raised bacon. And so we see that from the consumer side, and it's amazing all of the companies that are interested in either dipping their toe or going whole hog, so to speak, with changing over
couldn't
their
resist
menu.
That one, could you?
No, I couldn't resist. But, you know, we have partners. The amazing things that Chipotle is doing is closely followed also with Shake Shack and Panera and then a multitude of retailers that have a deeper investment in the values behind the food. And those,
right,
all of that culminates back to, you know, we're growing at double-digit rates year over year with you know, our business. And so to me, in the commodity meat world, you know, if you grow 1-2% in a year, that's a good year. So consumers continue to ask for this product, and it is our vow to double the number of farmers, and I think it meshes perfectly. I think there is definitely space for more of these, and I think that what's really interesting about Nyman Ranch is we are supporting farmers in raising animals in locations that are appropriate to raise those animals.
Right.
And in those communities, and you know, hogs grow in Iowa. They thrive in Iowa, and so our commitment is to dive deeper into those communities where it's appropriate to raise the animal cattle in the Midwest, and in the West, and sheep in the mountainous regions of California and Utah and Oregon, and so we have a network that I think has legs and will continue to grow and thrive very, very clearly. And the large companies also take notice of it, too. We couldn't be prouder of the fact that Purdue took an interest in us and has allowed us to do more and is our backbone when we need help as far as financial or whatever it is. We are seeing those companies like Purdue invest in Nyman Ranch, and you know, if they believe there's a future there, and we're going to make sure we see it through.
What do you think is it consumers' interest that is driving the success of Nyman Ranch? I mean, the quality of the product is great. But I hesitate to say that everyone is totally tuned into that, but I think everyone can get behind the animal welfare standards. I think that's a big part of it. But what has been your magic weapon here? Because I must say that watching the rise of Nyman Ranch over the last 10 years has really been a very interesting thing for me to see. So you've been there for 10 years, Kay, and you've been largely in the sales, you know, part of the vice president of sales there. So what have you done that has made this so compelling? Is it public education? No. You know, I'm just curious because nobody else can boast the track record that you have.
Yeah, well, two words, trust and integrity. I've never worked for a company that has more trust and integrity than this one, both in outreach to the farmers and in outreach to the consumers. There are a ton of fads that have come and gone in the meat business, and there are four pillars that Nyman Ranch stood for when it was founded, and it is the four pillars that we work with today. And that is, you know, family farming, humane animal treatment, sustainability of the land, and great taste. And those four we have never wavered from as we've grown this business. If any one of those, you know, were to go, you know, were to change, or we go, oh, let's add a, we don't do that. We keep to those four, and I think that has staying power. And that's our promise to our farmers, and that's our promise to our consumer. And I like to think, you know, I raise animals too, raise cattle. And at the end of the day, it just tastes great. It's delicious food. And we keep our chefs, we keep our consumers happy because it's always delicious. If you treat the animal right, if you have a farmer raising it that truly cares about his animals and is not just a contract worker, but truly cares about his animals, and you give that animal enough space and to express his natural instincts, he doesn't get sick, he doesn't need antibiotics, and you do all of those things, you get this incredible tasting pork or beef or lamb or whatever else may come along the way, and that is the promise that we've always kept with our consumers, and we tell that all the time. I am, you know, we have a communications team that makes sure that we have it on our website, on our social media, on all of our tools that we use to communicate with our consumer.
Yeah,
and
right.
I think that's our secret weapon: is trust and integrity in the four pillars.
Yeah, well, that is powerful stuff. I wanted to talk a little bit more. You were saying like Panera and other industries. How many other companies are starting to, you know, move to? I know Chick-fil-A said they would go cage free. A lot of companies make promises about how they're going to source their animal proteins. But what about companies that are dependent on the farmer, like John Deere? You know, what about other companies that provide inputs? Where are you branching out into some of those other industries to find support for your programs?
So I'll take this, and Ellie, maybe you can think of some examples. But we find that there are feed companies that want to to work with our farmers, and they will specially formulate feeds that meet our protocols and that are not adverse to being audited. And, so feed companies, and we have, we have animals raised in hoop barns. So those companies that build those structures, or even the huts that we use for farrowing, we have manufacturers that want to design things better for us all the time. Genetics companies, anymore the hog genetics in conventional industry are really hybrids and crossbreds and what works the pig genetics that may work in industrial farming just can't withstand walking around and a lot of pig genetics have lost their mothering instincts and we need those. We need pigs that will mother their newborn and nurse them, and many times those genetics are not, they don't really pay attention to those in conventional ag. So we have pig genetic companies and pig breeders that we support, and so there's a variety of, can I say that John Deere or Monsanto are paying attention? Probably not. but we have the little guys, the feed companies, the equipment suppliers, all rooting for us to do more with.
And
with
are
our
they?
Farmers.
I guess I didn't make my point clear. But are they supporting your initiatives towards young farmers? I mean, I didn't ask the question that way, but that's really what I was trying to get at. Is are they, like Chipotle? Are they starting to contribute to your initiatives to attract more young people into the farming community?
Yeah, I honestly, I don't know the answer to that, Ellie. Maybe you do. I know that we solicit donations for our Next Generation Scholarship Fund from all of our vendors. So I don't have direct knowledge, but I would assume that there are some that contribute to that scholarship fund.
Right, right. Why don't, Ellie, why don't you comment on what might be obvious to you and me and Kay and even Matt, but Matt being the engineer, but for the general consumer, why is it important? Why is this such a major concern of Niman Ranch and Chipotle to bring new people into farming? Because as we know, the average age is somewhere between 56, 58. And I think I saw somewhere that the Niman Ranch average is 42 for farming age. So why is it such a big focus for the company?
With the average age of the farmer increasing every year, now around 58 years old, the average age of the Niman Ranch farmer is only 42, 43. And that's huge because, like our scholarship program is named the Next Generation Foundation, this is getting the next generation of farmers and agricultural leaders an opportunity to get started and get established. And this ties into those huge challenges we're facing right now getting into agriculture, which is the cost of land, the debt, the opportunity for a secure market because there's such a high risk. So I think it's important for people to be supporting this initiative through Chipotle to support young farmers. And especially with the Niman Ranch niche market, our meat, Niman Ranch pork, beef, and lamb is such quality because it's raised by family farmers and raised with care. And I think personally, from growing up on a family farm, that no one can care more about the animals and their quality of life and animal welfare than a family farmer, because our whole livelihood is dependent on these animals, and their quality of life and their health matters to us, because that in turn affects our quality of life and our ability to support our family. So I think it's very important to support young people getting into agriculture, and especially into small and medium family farms, because they care more than anyone can care.
That is so true. Unfortunately, we're going to have to wrap it up here, but I just want to give a quick shout out to the big CBS segment on antibiotics in the food chain. And they went to one of your farms. I haven't seen it because I don't have television, but I'm going to watch it on YouTube. But apparently, like, they went to Ron, what's his name, Murfreesburg or something?
Yeah, they went to, so 60 Minutes did cover the use of, or maybe overuse, of antibiotics in conventional hog farming. And they did show, as an alternative, that there are farmers that are doing it, that are able to raise pigs without antibiotics. And they filmed at Ron Martison's farm Iowa, with pigs outdoors, mother sows taking care of their little pigs. And so there is an alternative to what 60 Minutes showed. And that alternative is part of Nyman Ranch. And so we were thrilled to be a part of the positive message that good pork farmers are out there, and at Nyman Ranch we're going to do everything we can to make sure there's more of them.
Yeah, absolutely. I thought it was just great. I will say that I was like kind of amazed that it's taken 10 years for mainstream media to catch up with the idea that antibiotics in the food system is not a good idea. It's like, where you been, guys? I mean, you know, some of us have been talking about this for a decade. I don't know. There's even been attempts at legislation that have not gone very far, but still. Ladies, I want to thank you both so much for joining me today. I really appreciate your time. And I look forward to hearing more about what's going on with Chipotle, and hopefully other partners will start coming on board with you guys and joining Chipotle in recognizing the imperative of bringing new farmers into the fold and supporting them as they face all of the incredible challenges that we talked about. So much appreciated for your time today. Much appreciated to my engineer, and thank you everybody for tuning in. We'll see you next week. Thanks a lot. What Doesn't Kill You is powered by Simplecast. Thanks for listening to Heritage Radio Network, food radio supported by you. For our freshest content, subscribe to our newsletter. Enter your email at the bottom of our website, heritageradionetwork.org. Connect with us on Instagram and Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can also find us at facebook.com/heritageradionetwork. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization driving conversations to make the world a better, fairer, more delicious place. And we couldn't do it without support from listeners like you. Want to be a part of the food world's most innovative community? Subscribe to the shows you like, tell your friends, and please join the HRN family by becoming a member. Just click on the beating heart at the top right of our homepage. Thanks for listening.
Hi, listeners. We want to tell you about a podcast we're really digging. It's called Christopher Kimball's Milk Street Radio. Every week, they travel the world to find the most fascinating stories about food, including children who harvest cod tongues after school in Norway, and a detective who tracks down food thieves. And on Milk Street Radio, you can always find the unexpected. The comedian who ranks apples using an elaborate 100-point system, the secret history of grocery stores, and how to eat your way through Italy. They also interview the most beloved names in food like Jacques Pepin, Sola Alweli, Jose Andres, Jet Tila, Ina Garten, Nigella Lawson, and Padma Lakshmi. Plus, co-hosts Christopher Kimball and Sarah Moulton do live calls with listeners and answer their questions about ingredients, techniques, and culinary mysteries. Like, why roasting a leg of lamb made one caller's oven explode? Ever wonder why your bread won't rise or your souffle falls flat? Chris and Sarah have the answers. You'll also hear from a rotating cast of contributors, including Kenji Lopez-Alt, Cheryl Day, Dan Pashman from The Sporkful, and Alex Inouz, a French guy cooking from YouTube. Take a listen at 177milkstreet.com/radio or just search your podcast app for Milk Street Radio.